Good evening and welcome to another edition of the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on this Thursday evening. Along with Matt Tritt and I'm John Coffey. And Matt, we got a good show on hand tonight. We're talking football as the defensive backs from the Bearcat football team will be with us. Blake Bear, along with Sean McPierre, Jacob Gassman, and Jeravian Anderson, as well as Trey Washington. And also we'll be having a discussion with cross-country head coach Nick Gibson. That's all coming up on the program this evening here on KXCV KRNW. Thanks, everyone, helping out the show behind the scenes. Logan Weber, along with Jacob Blair. And, Matt, busy weekend coming up this weekend as the fall sports, again, continue to move on, and winter sports are underway as well.
Yeah, you got a battle of technical difficulties early on, right? Yes. That's what it's all about. But, no, it'll be a big weekend whenever we have Northwest Missouri State football. Obviously, major playoff implications and conference implications when they head up to Fort Hays State this weekend. And that's become a really good rivalry early on. And then Northwest Missouri State men's basketball got things rolling last week with a couple big games in the Small College Basketball Hall of Fame Classic. Now it's the first chance to see the women take the court as well. And we kind of talked a little bit last week after the MIAA championships. Cross country is heading into the NCAA Central Region Tournament, or Central Region Championship, I should say, and a heck of a performance there in the MIAA championships. They're heading back to the same place, heading to Joplin, where they've ran twice already this year. They know the course well. They had three of the top four finishers in the MIAA championships. So it's a group that has to feel really confident and like their best performance is still ahead of them a little later on this season.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And then you look at basketball. You've got the women's team getting their season off this weekend as they're in Kearney, Nebraska to compete in a tournament hosted by UNK. They'll be in action tomorrow at 5 o'clock tip-off with Wayne State. That can be heard online at kxcv.org. And then on Saturday, they face Minnesota Crookston in a 3:30 tip-off again on kxcv.org. And Northwest, both on the men's and women's side, getting a chance to see Minnesota Crookston this weekend. The men will face Crookston tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, and the way they played last week against Southern Nazarene in a second game and start things off against Damon, really good performances. I know Coach Mack would like to see that defense a little bit better in that second game after giving up 88 to Southern Nazarene, but a chance to come in against some good competition this weekend, some in-region competition once again, and continue that.
And with volleyball in action this weekend as they round out the regular season in Wichita with Newman tomorrow night at 6, and then Saturday evening down in Edmond, Oklahoma, Central Oklahoma, and they've got couple of good matches there, but then they're looking ahead toward later play as well, so a lot of them still on the line for this Northwest volleyball team.
Yeah, currently sitting eighth in the region and kind of looking out with their destiny still ahead of them. If they can pick up a few more wins and really solidify themselves in the NCAA tournament, that would be huge. So Northwest Missouri State volleyball just had a good season, but now it's time to step in and really finish things off strong.
Again, a reminder that support for the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the Stunner Body Screen Printing and Embroidery located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Stunner Body provides Bearcat fanwear, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch and dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Or at 660-582-2699. When we come back, we'll talk cross country as Nick Gibson will be joining us. That's coming up right after this from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for more than 150 years. More information on locations is online at nvb.com. Member FDIC. Support for today's broadcast comes from Oak Point in Maryville, an assisted living community that offers residents help with medications, meals, personal care, and more. Information on services or upcoming events is at facebook.com/Oak Point of Maryville.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers pre-owned late model autos and will also purchase vehicles from individuals. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Bullseye Trading in Maryville, located at 1115 East 1st Street, open 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Bullseye Trading offers guns, ammo, and payday and pawn loans. For more info, 660-241-5013 or on Facebook.
Today's game is supported by State Farm Insurance agents Kerry Myers and Kevin Neal in Maryville and Nick Codeman in St. Joe, providing life, auto, and homeowners insurance and financial services. More at 562-3882, 582-3512, or insurewithnick.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
And welcome back to the KXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson's Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And joined now by Nick Gibson, the cross-country coach at Northwest Missouri State. And Nick, you've got a big weekend coming up. We talked a little bit about this last week, but again, a lot of things coming up, including a trip down to Joplin once again for the Central Region.
Yeah, I mean, we're essentially making Joplin a new home. I mean, we've been down there so many times this year. I mean, half of our races have been down there this year, so we're very familiar with the course, which is, you know, exciting going into the regional championships and, you know, hoping to, you know, make the national championships from it.
Now, not only will you be familiar, but some other MIAA schools will be familiar with that as well, but a few of the other schools coming in from the region might have to a little bit of adjustment period with that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we bring in two other conferences, the Great American Conference and the Northern Sun Conference, which, you know, Northern Sun has some pretty historically good teams in it. You know, Augustana is one of the best teams, you know, historically in the region and in the country. So, you know, they come in, and obviously Missouri Southern is, you know, ranked number six in the country and, you know, is one of the top teams as well. And, you know, we had a good showing against them at conference meet, but, you know, I think we can, you know, do a little better at the regional meet.
What are some of the things that you're looking to improve upon when you go into this regional meet that you feel like you can make some improvements with?
I mean, the biggest thing, I think, is just getting everybody, you know, running their best on the right day. You know, last meet we had four of the five run well, and, you know, that, you know, just that one person not running, you know, their best, you know, really hurt us. But, you know, I think that we can, you know, put all five together. I mean, we'd had, you know, three really good workouts in the past, you know, 2 weeks since the conference meet. So I know they're ready to go, and it's just, you know, all about, you know, just showing up on the day and just letting it happen.
Yeah, as a team, it's been a while since Northwest has won in the region, I think going back to 1998, but you're having one of the better seasons since that time as well. What are some of the things that, when you look at trying to win the meet on the team standings, as opposed to having a few individuals that have in the past have gone through, including last year, making it to the national, but from a team standpoint, what are some of the keys that you see to doing well in this? Again, that might be a little bit different than an individual.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is that, I mean, the race gets 2,000 meters longer, so over a mile longer for, you know, from our conference meet and then from the other races that we've competed at all year, and, you know, and that's what we prepared them for all year, so I know that the guys are ready, they're strong, I mean, they're ready for this, and, you know, our top guys like Kareem and Jordan and Augustine, you know, they're really good 10K guys, so, I mean, I think it suits them a lot better at this meet, and obviously adding in some more teams and some more competitors, they're going to break up the scoring a little bit and are going to make the team scores a little bit higher than, you know, at a conference meet when there's, you know, just a smaller spread of teams.
And obviously this is the time of the year that you want your team to peak, so you've been building toward this throughout this season. And how do you work as far as the workouts go to make sure that this is where the teams are going to be at their best now?
Yeah, I mean, for the past, you know, couple weeks, we've been starting to back off their mileage. I mean, we've had guys, you know, doing between, you know, 60, 70, up to 100 miles a week, and now we're starting to back them off, so their legs are starting to respond and feel really good. I mean, they ran really well on, you know, tired legs early on in the year and just backing off the mileage, and, you know, the workout, the volume has decreased, but the intensity's gone up. So, you know, just trying to line it all up on the right day is the biggest thing, and some of it's just kind of, you know, listening to the athletes and seeing how they're feeling on a daily basis, you know, and adjusting the workouts from them, and, you know, trying to make it so they feel like they're really prepared, because obviously it's a huge mental game, you know, running 6 miles at one time. I mean, so, you know, it's a long race, and, you know, it's a lot of thinking, so, you know, for them it's just making sure that they feel confident, you know, in their abilities going into the race.
As far as the women's side, what are some things you're looking for your women?
Yeah, I mean, for the women, you know, we had a pretty good conference meet, but, you know, we're going to have 34 teams in the region, you know, against them, and, you know, I know that our conference is good, and it's better than some of the other conferences, so, you know, our women's team didn't place as well as we wanted to, but I think we can place, you know, probably pretty close to the same that we did at our conference meet, just because of, you know, just the separation and more teams and more individuals and just some of the other teams not being as good as our team still. So, I mean, for us, you know, if we're finishing in the top half of our region, you know, it's still a really good showing.
Top three head on to the Nationals as a team. What are some of the key, or what are the teams that you'll need to beat to be in that top three coming up on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, the top two teams are obviously the number six and number seven team, Moso, and then Augustana. And then, you know, we're ranked number 11, and then there's a couple teams behind us. Sioux Falls was ranked early on in the year, and Minnesota State Moorhead is but received votes, so they, you know, they're just on the outside of being ranked as well. So those are the two teams that are going to be right behind us, that I know they're going to be really trying to show up and try to earn one of the automatic spots. You know, but if not, you know, I think that our region's still going to probably get another at-large bid, so we'll probably get four teams from our region at the national championship.
Well, that'll be good, and also individually, I imagine there's going to be some of the guys that are going to have some opportunities individually to make it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we have a really good shot. I mean, just from, you know, how we've raced all year, we've been really consistent and getting better and better each race, that I think, you know, if we place outside the top three, you know, we just didn't have a good day. So for us, you know, it's just about doing our job and, you know, doing what we need to do to make the meet. And I think if we do that and we do like we did at the conference meet, we'll have a good shot to win it.
This is always a busy time for everyone involved with cross country, but you also look, you've got another season around the corner as well with the indoor season, then get ready for the outdoor as well. So from a coaching standpoint, you guys don't get much of a chance to rest during the year, do you?
No, not really. I mean, it's just it's a long grind, I mean, throughout the year. So, I mean, a lot of it's just, you know, keeping the athletes, you know, motivated and, you know, keeping them having fun. I mean, because, you know, if you're doing the sport, you know, all year, I mean, it gets tiring and it wears on you. And I think the biggest thing for me is, just, you know, I really enjoy the team and, you know, going every day and working with the athletes because they're just a lot of fun and they love the sport, you know, which is just makes it really easy for me to work with them.
How do you juggle what you're doing with cross country? And I know Brandon has a lot to do with the rest of the program, too, but what you're doing with cross country and then try to get ready for the indoor season, too.
Yeah, I mean, it gets a little bit trickier because, like, now I'm writing you know, four different workouts, you know, two for the, you know, men's. We have a mid-distance group that isn't running really cross-country, and then we have our longer-distance group that's running cross-country, and then we have our ladies. You know, it's the same thing. We have a mid-distance group and a long-distance group. Well, then in track, we end up switching up to where I have, like, four different groups, so I'm writing essentially six to eight different workouts, you know, per day, essentially. So, I mean, it's a lot of work, and, I mean, obviously, like, I don't have a lot of free time, so I spend a lot of my weekends, you know, preparing and writing the workouts, and then obviously, you know, throughout the week, I adjust them based on how they're feeling, how they're responding to the workouts.
And how much do you, at this point, to pay attention to maybe some recruiting as well and try to keep up on what's taking place at the high school level in the regions?
Yeah, I mean, I essentially get done with most of my meets, and I'm going back home, and I'm scrolling through all the results, watching football on TV, and just scrolling through the results, watching how the high school teams did. I mean, Iowa had their state meet last week, Nebraska had theirs 2 weeks ago, Kansas had theirs last week, and Missouri's is this weekend. So I'm gonna get done with the regional meet, and I'm gonna text the recruits that, you know, I've been talking to all week and, you know, all year, and, you know, try to, you know, keep up with them and, you know, try to get them for signing day next week. I mean, we already have, I think, 12 girls committed for next year already, so we're off to a really good start, you know, with the ladies side.
And I imagine too, just seeing the success and the improvement that you've seen with not only the men's side, but the women too, has to be something that some potential recruits are paying attention at right now.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, Northwest has a great, you know, history and tradition just with the school itself, and then obviously, you know, the other athletic programs here. And, you know, that was one of the big draws for me and Brandon is to come here, was that we knew that, you know, coming here that we could help build and, you know, help the cross country and track teams become, you know, what some of the other sports are. And, you know, for us, you know, we want to be one of the top teams as a university, you know, in the Learfield Directors Cup, you know, which for us, you know, we count as six sports in that, so we contribute a lot to the standings. So for us, we want to do well because we want to finish up that and show how good our university is in the athletics as well as the academics.
Well, as far as this weekend, the trip down to Joplin, again, you know, the trip down there, the roads down there pretty well to get to it, but just give us an itinerary of when you're taking off and some of the things you want to do to make sure they're ready to go on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, we'll leave tomorrow around 10 a.m. You know, we'll drive, you know, about the 4 hours down there, and then we'll go straight to the course. You know, we know the course really well, but the guys, well, we'll make sure that they, you know, do their, you know, pre-meet, you know, light shakeout run on the course and make sure they know exactly where they're going tomorrow, because obviously there's another 2K that they got to know that they got to you know, they're going to run. So it's just making sure that they know exactly, you know, the turns and everything like that. And then, you know, it's pretty much just, you know, getting some food after that and, you know, just relaxing and getting ready for the, you know, the races in the morning.
All right. Well, again, Nick, thanks a lot for being with us here on the show tonight, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Yeah, that is Nick Gibson, the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Cross Country Squads. Again, they compete this weekend in the Central Regional, which is being held down in Joplin and hosted by Missouri Southern. We'll be back and have more for you from Carson Sports Grill right after this timeout on KXCV KRNW.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Support for today's game comes from Heinlein Home Furnishings on South Main in Maryville. Locally owned and operated, Heinlein has been in business for more than 50 years, offering mattresses and furniture from Ashley, Lazy Boy, England, Serta, and more. More information at HeinleinHomeFurnishings.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating more than 50 years in business, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. More at 660-582-3104.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from United Electric Cooperative, who is committed to serving Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa residents with reliable and affordable power. For all electrical services, UECI.COOP.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering locksmithing, lock installation, repairs, rekeying, and high security master key system setup and maintenance. More at 660-582-3131 or at MarylandGlassAndLock.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back into the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show from Carson's Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Talking Northwest Missouri State football now, and we have head coach Rich Wright as well as a few cornerbacks joining us here. We're doing a couple different segments with football. We have cornerbacks now. Safety's coming up in just a little bit, so a lot of Northwest Missouri State secondary. With us, we have Shama Pierre, Trey Washington, and Jaravian Anderson. Guys, we appreciate you coming in. Feeling rested? Good week of practice after a solid win last weekend, I assume, Jaravian?
Yes, sir.
Of course, you had a pretty good weekend already, right?
Yes, sir.
Able to kick back a little bit. What do you guys, Trey and Shama, for you guys getting in there? And Northeastern State's a team that's struggling, but that's big to get a win like that and just to keep plugging away before a couple big weeks to round out the MIAA schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought we played a pretty complete game. I think it was really nice to play a good game like that, and then coming into a week like this, because they're a really solid team and probably one of the best receiving cores that we'll see for a minute at least in the MIAA. So it was a good team win for us.
Yeah.
Shama, when you look at it, I mean, this is kind of how you want to be able to round out the schedule, right? To go in and play a couple of the top teams in the conference and really stake your claim there at the top.
Right. I mean, I feel like just as a program, like, you know, we had Northeastern, and then going into with Fort Hays, our mentality just as a team, our coach, Coach Wright, just tries to teach us that no matter who we're playing, you know, we just have to play them the same because everybody's going to give us their best shot, and so it's all about how we respond.
So in the MIAA, you see so many diverse offenses. We've seen the triple option a couple times. We see so many teams that want to come in and throw the football all over the field. Personal preference as a cornerback, you want to step back there and make a PBU down the field 30 yards, or are you going to step up and make a huge hit in the backfield and get that tackle for loss?
PBU.
I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter. We're all about, we just try to make big plays. I mean, we just take what they give us and we just try to shut it down.
What do you think, Jaravian?
I'm more of a PBU guy.
Yeah?
I was going to say cross-categorically, they're almost all better PBU guys. So.
Now, we flip to the safeties. I assume they'll want to step up and make the tackle at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, the safeties are a little different. The corners like to cover people. They're we have a nickname, but I won't share on the radio.
Well, you know that front seven, they do their job, and you don't step up there and make those tackles, right?
Our front seven does a good job. So
amazing job.
We see the cover.
Amazing.
Coach, whenever you look at this group and what you have around you and so much talent, but I get the feeling it's pretty fun in practice with them, too.
Oh, gosh, they keep it light. They're a little different personality-wise from me. You know, I tend to be a little more intense. They tend to be a little more loose, probably why I have no hair. So,
but I guess you have to be – a bit of a different breed to be able to step out there and be on an island right that.
You
like,
do.
Right?
You know, the one of the things that I try and tell everybody that I talk to, it's everything is magnified for these guys, and you do have to have a short memory because, you know, these guys, when they make a mistake, everybody in the stadium sees it. You know, if a defensive lineman doesn't get a good pass rush or a backer, you know, misses a play, it's their job to get it down on the ground. And, you know, that's that short memory mentality that these guys have, because if they make a mistake, it's an explosive play. And you have to have a special personality to be able to have the mental toughness to persevere through that.
Sean, when you get ready for a week and you're watching game tape, how much of it is, and obviously there's so much talent when you guys come in, and that's why you're recruited to Northwest Missouri State, how much of it's the mental side, basically knowing that wide receiver's route tree before you take the field?
How much of it? I'd probably say, 80-90%. I mean, it's all mental, because in order for you to play confident, like when you step on that field, you have to obviously, you know, do your research, your homework on that receiver, so you're not out there just like, you know, lost, or it's like a surprise or a birthday party. You know, it's just like, you know what you're doing, like, you know, it's going in, taking a big test. You want to go in on that test and knowing that you'll ace it, rather than, like, you know, just being caught off guard.
One of the things these guys do, and I doubt many people would know, if you were to look at Coach Clayton's position meetings, they spend a ton of time walking through. Just walking through. In our defense, they're so multiple with the checks that they make, and the safeties will talk about that in a minute, but just how they're playing things based on formation and how motion and shifts change all that. And they've got to be extremely adaptable and do a phenomenal job of communicating in order to do their coverage responsibility. And it's not an easy thing. And, you know, we spend a lot of time, you know, we spend about 10 to 15 minutes in a two-hour practice working half line, which is half the side of the field routes every day, and just walking through the route combinations and what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. Is this guy up? Is this guy off? You know, it all plays into it. And who are the guys? And so that's what we feel like philosophically gives us an advantage. But, you know, these guys are the ones that have to execute it.
I assume that those instincts play a big role whenever you know that route, you know what's coming. Do you step up and you break up that pass, or do you try to make the pick and take it the other way?
Well, for me personally, I'd rather be like the big play guy to make the pick, so, because that gives our team like the advantage. Like a PBU is good, but turning the ball over, that's what we want, to make the big plays.
And in that split second, though, how hard is that? You see that quarterback cocking it, and you kind of look at the receiver, and you know, how quick can I close? Can I make the pick? Should I make the hit? I mean, it's split-second reaction, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what DB is. DB is more of like a reaction position on the field, so you got to have good instincts, and you just got to go. You got to leave it all on the field.
So I'm curious the different the dynamic here with these with the cornerbacks. We've got a couple guys from Florida. We've got a guy from Iowa here. first, for Shaman Jaravian, how'd you guys get to Northwest Missouri State? It's a little bit different, obviously, a little cooler. Not nearly as nice down in Florida. What made you guys come here to Northwest?
For me, it was just, I'd like to think of it, it was like by chance, like by fate. I played corner my last year of high school. It was like one of those things. It was just like a last-minute decision. I decided I wanted to play cornerback. And so went through my senior year. I got a lot of interests from teams, but it wasn't really much. And I remember going into that summer, you know, I started feeling down. And I was like, man, I probably won't be able to play college ball. But it was just one day I received a phone call from Northwest, and they were like, hey, you know, we've seen your film. We like you, and we want to offer you, want you to play for us. And so I remember that. I was like, I was just extremely ecstatic. I was happy. And I said, you know, Mom, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to Missouri.
Was she okay with that? I mean obviously, you know, she's okay with it. You're here, but yeah, it was quite a distance.
Yeah, I mean, me being the baby, you know, of the siblings, she was kind of hesitant about it, but, you know, I told her this is what I had to do. I felt like I wanted to do, so I just needed her support with it, and eventually she came around.
How about you, Jaravian?
Well, in high school, I played both sides of the field, so I had, like, a lot of opportunities to go places, but one day I came in from weights, and I actually seen Coach Wright. He was there with the reins on his finger, and I was just talking to him. And I just, like, it was like a sense of, like, belonging. Like, he really wanted me to come to the program and, like, at least check it out. And then when I came up here, I seen a couple more Florida guys, so I'm like, okay, really like know what they're doing. So it was just like a sense of belonging and it's competitive. So that's why I came here.
Those championship rings are a good good motivator, aren't they?
They never hurt, not at all. You know, I saw that you know, this week the full transformation happened because I'm wandering around on the football field and Shama's running around in short sleeves and Zeravian isn't worried about the cold, no hoodies and all this stuff. I mean, you know, it's weird how these guys get adapted to, you know, the lifestyle and everything else.
Well, it seemed like the coming out party too for Shama in the snow when the national championship game, you came out and played really good. I think, what'd you have, 3 tackles, 3 pass breakups in that that 16 national championship? What was that like going through that? And Florida kid, you're playing on national television just in the snow, probably not what you expected.
I mean, we just going in before that game, we knew what the weather was going to be. Obviously, like, you know, when I think about it now, I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't expect to get all the playing time that I did, but it was just one of those things where my coaches, like, even beforehand, it was like, just in case, you just got to stay mentally locked in, you just got to stay prepared because you never know. You know, and so when, as a football player, all it takes is one play. And so it was unfortunate that it happened, you know, to our starter, Eddie Ritchie. But I was just, because of my coaches and the preparation, I was able to just step up and do what I had to do.
Trey, this is probably like home. The cold weather we have coming in, you're used to this. It's nothing, right?
Yeah, it's not that bad. I always say, joke around a little bit, that Maryville's just a little bit colder than Iowa for some reason. I think it's because when we do winter conditioning and stuff, that we're out there with little to nothing on for an hour, and I never did that in high school, but yeah.
You know, one thing I'll interject, you know you're officially old when you walk into a home visit, which I did with Trey, and you walk in the house and met his mom, and turn around and look at his dad, and I had coached his father in college, and I was like, holy cow, I am now officially old.
So you didn't realize that until you just happened?
Nope. I hadn't connected the dots, and so I walk into the house, and I'm like, you know, and Gabe was a safety for us at William Penn University, extremely physical guy. And nothing had changed. His mentality, the way he is, you know, you could just tell on the home visit. You know, it was kind of cool.
How much of that played a role? That obviously your dad, knowing coach and knowing he's a good guy, has to help a little bit there, right?
Yeah, it was a big factor in it. Because I look up to my dad quite a bit, so him just letting me know what type of coach the coach right is, and how smart he is, and how he's going to lead our program, and just the way he interacts with kids was a big part of it. And actually, about 5 to 10 minutes before he showed up to my house, he was like, "Who's Rich Wright? Is he bald dude, right?" And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "I think I played for him a couple years ago when I was in college. I think I know him." And he walked in. He was like, "I knew who that was." It was pretty funny.
This is a rare opportunity. So your dad probably gave you some good stories on Coach Wright from back in the day, right?
Yeah, a couple of them. I won't go too into detail of them because they're pretty long, but it was pretty good ones.
Well, and you're kind of having a breakout season here too, in your sophomore season in from Grimes, Iowa, and tied for first in the MIAA with interceptions and first in passes defended. It's one of those things that some guys get banged up, you get the chance to step in and make some big plays. How much has that growth been just, you know, it happens so quick because you're thrown in the fire?
Mm-hmm. I think last year helped me a lot because it was actually this game at Fort Hays where I really played a lot last year as a redshirt freshman. And I wasn't expecting to play really at all that game. And in the beginning of the season, I kind of went in third, fourth quarter if we were really beating teams. But just to kind of get thrown into that game was a huge kind of an eye-opener, honestly, and helped me a lot and just kind of prepared me for what – and it was a big game, too, what these big games are like and how to conduct myself on and off the field. And I think especially our preparation over the summer and just having that mentality of, okay, I know how games are going to go out, how this stuff really works, really kind of changed my mindset for summer workouts and winter workouts and even spring ball, and just how I, like, approach myself and conduct myself on the field and just different stuff.
We have Northwest quarterbacks Jeravian Anderson, Shama Pierre, and Trey Washington with us, and head coach Rich Wright. We guys go out there, you're working with BC, you're in the meeting room with them. I mean, guy looks like he's still in shape. He can still play, right?
No, he cannot play. I'll start that. I'll fall under the bus for him. No, He could not still play.
It's got about, Shama said, it's about being 80%, 90% mental. I mean,
too many knee surgeries for BC.
He thinks he could play.
Who's the best cover corner on the team?
Mm. Ooh, wow.
I'll let them answer, then coach, you can tell us the true answer.
Giovanni Guido.
Shout out to Gio.
What do you think, Travian?
Yeah, we had to go with Gio.
Oh, wow. Guido. Everybody's going to do extra humble tonight, huh?
What do you think, coach?
Depends on what you want. Seriously, is it in the slot? Is it out on the island? Is it zone? Is it man? Because they all accentuate different things.
Man to man outside.
What do I want?
Guido.
We'll just write this one as Gio.
Yeah, I'm not picking.
I think we all do a lot of different stuff. I think with one of us has a really big strength. I think some of us are weaker in that area, try to feed off that and kind of get better at it. But I think it depends on kind of the practice of the day. But there's different stuff that I think that we're good at and not so good at. So it depends on the person.
Without getting too detailed or too specific, who's the best who would be the toughest receiver to cover on Northwest Missouri State?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Our
team?
Yeah, the team, yep.
I had to go with Armani.
But honestly, if it's not Imani, definitely
Tatum.
Alec Tatum.
Tatum
is for anybody.
Shifty, right?
Yeah. Is
hard
good.
Worker.
Yeah.
Who's the best dancer out of the defensive back group?
Blake Bear.
Blake Bear.
Yep, definitely.
Blake Bear is definitely the
best. Is there a go-to move? Is there something that he could break out for us here on the floor?
I think he could do it right now if you asked him.
We got some room, Blake.
Go ahead and demonstrate, Blake. That'd be good.
He doesn't have his dancing shoes, cowboy boots on.
Yeah. What's the go-to pregame music for you guys? What do you listen to before a game?
Honestly, we're usually in our own, we each have our own headphones on, so it'd have to be
no playlist or anything specific.
Not really.
Depends on the mood. Yeah. If I'm angry or just in a bad mood, I'm just something that's just heavy metal or something. But if it's just a chill, focusing game, playing my stuff, it's, I don't know.
Are you playing better in a bad mood?
I don't know. It depends on the game.
Yeah.
Depends on the opponent.
What do you think, Draven? Do you have anything specific?
The only person I usually listen to is Rod Wave. He's a Florida rapper. He's an upcoming. He's not upcoming anymore. Mainstream now. But that's basically who I listen to. He just dropped a new album, so I've been listening to that for 2 weeks now.
Yeah. I'm up there, too.
You know what I'm really impressed with, Matt, is that I set up here, specifically to be the translator for Jaravian, because on the field, if Jaravian gets talking, I can't understand a word he says. If it's in the heat of the game and he comes off the field and I'm like, Jaravian, what happened? I'm like, he said something to me one time. I just turned and looked at Jarrell and I said, what did he say? And Jarrell would translate it for me, or Shama would translate it for me. And, it's just he just goes. So Jaravian, I've been so impressed with the speed with which you've spoken tonight. I can't tell you.
That's good. If an official, that makes a call you don't like, you can say whatever. They won't hear you, right?
No, they won't understand a word he says, I promise.
Yeah.
We had Tucker Peavy on last week. We talked a lot about equipment, the uniforms, all that. Who's got the most style? Everybody has to work kind of the same thing, but
that's a DB thing. They all think
swag.
They got style.
It's going to be Jarrell. Play Jarrell Green. Jarrell Green got it.
Drill.
Yeah. I'd probably be a close second.
Shama's going to self-nominate. What he really wanted to say is he had it. But.
Yeah. Coach, I feel like with the characters and all the different the situations throughout a game, I feel like you have to have some good stuff on these guys to throw out there, right, of just some random stuff that'll happen or...
Well, the first one was Jaravian and trying to translate anything he says. There was one game where he was talking about his Achilles, and it took me 15 minutes to figure out, what Achilles meant. He kept going, Achilles. I'm like, what? I didn't know if it was an offensive player or I had no idea. Shama's pretty relaxed for the most part. The thing about Shama is that, he's tough on himself, and sometimes with Shama in the game, you got to build him up. He's very conscientious, and I don't think many people would know that about him. It's tough being out on the island, and the thing I'm most proud about him with is just his perseverance. You look at you know, the journey he's made and, you know, playing in the national championship game. And, you know, it's just been a long journey for him, and a lot of kids would have given up, and he hasn't, and I'm proud of him. You know, Trey's kind of the young gun. He's a young guy, and, you know, he's been real quiet and patiently waited for his opportunity. And, you know, I think, you know, his best football is yet to come. You know, I'm excited. One thing, you know, in all candor, I'm excited to see what these guys do with this test this weekend, because we've had a lot of injuries in the back end this year. And, you know, it's time to go take a test against some really good receivers. And, you know, I'm just excited how these guys are going to compete this weekend.
This will be a fun one. Northwest taking on 7-2 Fort Hays State coming up this weekend on the road. Before we let you guys go, too, you guys grew up watching the NFL. The greatest defensive back of all time. Who are you guys growing up watching?
Deion Sanders.
Yeah. Deion?
Yeah. I'm not a fan of the NFL very much. I watch college. My dad's actually from Florida, so we grew up
watching Miami, right?
Yeah, we grew up watching Miami football a lot. But recently I started looking at the NFL a little bit, and I got into college, and I like Jalen Ramsey.
Jalen's the man, yeah.
He's a dog.
All right.
Lester Hayes, does that date me?
Not at all. I grew up with my dad telling me about Lester Hayes. So
there you go.
Charles Woodson, those are the guys.
Charles Woodson, oh, that's another
Charles
good
Woodson,
one.
He's a dog too.
All right, guys, we appreciate your time. Good luck this weekend. We'll do it again sometime, all right?
Thank you.
Joining us here on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, we have a couple of cornerbacks, Sean Mapierre, Trey Washington, and Jeravian Anderson, and head coach Rich Wright. We'll take a timeout. We'll have the safeties come back as we have the secondary on Northwest Missouri State continuing with us. You're listening to the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Bearcat Lumber on East 1st Street in Maryville, providing windows, roofing, siding, and doors for new home construction, as well as materials and plans for outbuilding, shops, and garages. More on Bearcat Lumber services at 660-562-0300.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park offers residents and visitors camping facilities for tents and RVs, as well as lakeside cabin rentals. More information on camping and lodging is at MazingoLake.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911 or in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for more than 150 years. More information on locations is online at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries within the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Printery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
And welcome into the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. We continue with Northwest Missouri State football. They have a good test this weekend against Fort Hays State. Head coach Rich Wright's joining us, as well as safeties Jacob Gassman and Blake Bayer. Guys, we appreciate you coming in and chatting with us. Kind of got to see what the cornerbacks went through. So now, after what they said, you can kind of clarify all that for us and clear up those answers. Who's actually the best cover corner on the team? Cover corner, so I'm not keeping you guys
on. Not a lot of pressure. It's a tough question. I mean, I would say,
just like Coach said, every spot on the field is different.
Yeah.
So that's super tough. We have guys that can cover great there on the corner. You got guys that can cover great in the slot. That's up in the air for sure.
They're each definitely very unique in their own way. Like Shama, he's got his length, and he uses that to his ability. And you got Ray Ray with just great footwork and technique. And so they're very unique, and that's nice to see.
Coach, I'm curious of how we can get Jacob the ball more. Two career picks, two career touchdowns. I mean, he should probably just go ahead and intercept a few more, right?
Oh, gosh, he just put that on a tee for you, yeah. But I won't do it. He's a good athlete, you know, and it's been great to have him back. Missed a little bit of time this year with a hamstring, but once we got him back on the field, he's an explosive kid, very instinctual. You know, these guys, you know, are kind of the unsung heroes of our defense, because they basically run it the way that we, the way that we're set up. We spend the week teaching them what we want to be in every formation and in everything that we do, and they literally call the defense on the field. So our base check is Husker check. And, you know, if it's 3-by-1, 2-by-2, motion 2, you know, they're making all the adjustments. And that's the way college football has changed, is when college football went to the no huddle, and I could no longer look at a formation and determine what I wanted to play, I knew the game had to get over to them. And so we talk about, as coaches, handing them the keys to the car. And it's our job throughout the week to teach them what we want to do. It's their job to actually go out and execute it. And, you know, you want to talk about something difficult, when you have to not only know what you're doing, but getting everybody else on our field lined up. That's not an easy task. And these guys have done a phenomenal job with that this year.
Jacob, and you go about that, and you get that call, and you're getting everybody set up, especially when it's in a true hurry-up. I'm sure it's probably a little bit more abbreviated, but how difficult is that, getting up from the line all the way back to make sure everybody's on the same page?
You know, initially starting off is very difficult, but in my position now, being a senior and going through it all those years, it becomes second nature at some point, and you do less thinking and a lot more plan, just reacting. So, yeah, at first it's definitely tough directing traffic out there, but like Coach Wright says, we have a lot of freedom, and just you do it for so long, it becomes second nature, and it makes everything a lot more easier.
Matt, I'll give you an example just real quick. So if you take a 2-by-2 formation, all right, so these guys in the back end are saying, if we get motion here by the receiver, we're doing this. If the back motion's out, we've got this. And then they got to go line up. And it is. I mean, it's, you are thinking, snap. And, you know, these guys have done a great job with it. And we call it triangles. So each side of our defense works independently, but works with each other. So these guys have to correspond that there are certain coverage checks on this side. If we're playing it to the right, we can't play the same coverage to the left. And so they've got to not only talk on their side, linebacker, corner, safety, but they also have to talk on the other side to make sure that everything matches up. And it's no small task.
You know, what's funny is that I think there are so many people, and I'll throw myself in it too, that they're like, oh, we know football. But until you, like, watch tape or talk to a coach like yourself or a player, like, you have no idea what's actually going on in the game. It's so intricate.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I could take you into a film room and start to tell you, watching it, what it looks like. If I put you out on the field and said, check it, it's a whole different world, and it just takes time. And you know, like I said, these guys are literally the quarterbacks on our defense, and the entire show runs through them.
Is that heavy taking that on, Blake, especially when you kind of – I mean, as a younger guy, well, hey, I'm not being thrown in the starting lineup just yet. I can absorb it. But once you get thrown into that starting role, is a little bit heavier going in, knowing that there's that responsibility?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That just allows you to become that leader in whatever way you want to look at that. So when that role comes to my side of the field, the left side of the field, that allows me to lead the guys on my side, and then also talk to Jake on what he's doing, and so we're able to get our defense lined up and for the right check and the best way to play against that formation.
You know, one thing to add in on Blake, you know, that I thought was really critical to what we were doing is when Jake went down, you know, we had Drew Dostal, and Drew did a good job for us. But, you know, at the same time, when you're the only safety back with experience, you know, the entire defense basically revolved through him. He was telling Drew what to do, then getting his side lined up. You know, it was a little bit like when last year when we moved Anthony Lane to safety, and just felt like that was the best matchup for us and with Jack Richards. And, you know, I was so proud of Blake and the work that he did and how much he's grown in the last 365 days.
Blake, when you look at your season and coming into this this year, I believe you had 21 career tackles. Now all of a sudden you're you know, one of the top tacklers in the MIAA and have really stepped into that role and played big. How fun has this been for you just to step in there and be a key cog for Northwest on defense?
It's been great. To be honest with you, our D-line and linebackers are doing a great job of flushing that pocket for us and allowing us safeties to come down and make plays. So I could give I could give a lot of my credit to those guys, the guys down in the trenches and linebackers, being able to allow me to make that play, make those plays.
Well, Jacob, for you, battled some injuries. You missed the first four games, but stepping in there, getting that playing time. Northeastern State, you had a pick down the field. Just couldn't quite pull that one in. But then it seemed like it was just it was karma. It came back around to you. They threw one right to you. You pick it. You take it back and zigzag through the defense for the touchdown. How satisfying was that to step in and get that pick six?
Yeah, it was just a great feeling. I knew I had to get me one at some point this year, and I like getting the ball in my hands any way I can. I know that's the only way. I mean, either that or a fumble recovery, so I had to make the most of my opportunity. But, yeah, it just kind of reminds me of, like, my old punt returning days in high school. So I just had to take advantage of that while I can. I even told Tate, I was like, hey, I'm coming for that punt returner job.
You know, the old Kearney, Missouri legend right there.
Yeah.
Didn't he have one his senior year that was just – I'm trying to remember. It's been quite a few years. Zigzagging back through the special teams and on a punt return for a touchdown.
Yeah,
wasn't that a big one? I feel like that was like on SportsCenter or something.
Oh, that was in the MoCan also.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, that was back in my prime. So,
you know, how about the one at Arrowhead Stadium that he picked and went yard with? That was against Pittsburgh was State.
Yeah. 2-3 seasons ago. Yeah, ball gets in your hands, good things happen.
I know.
What's it like with this Kearney connection here at Northwest Missouri State? It seems like any athletic department that recruits a kid from Kearney, they're going to come in and win some mm-hmm. big games.
Yeah, we definitely – Kearney definitely has a great history here. Like, a lot of my coaches in high school came here, and that's one of the reasons that really kind of cleared up my decision to come here is just they talked about everything that this culture up here embodies, and they really encompassed that at Kearney. So I just knew – that I wanted to be a part of that winning culture and just kind of live in that experience.
Those are pretty good connections when you can go there and the coaches know you, and especially any program that's been around for a while. But a winning program like that, they put out good kids that you can go there and have that instant connection.
Absolutely. With Coach Jones there at the time and all those guys, it was that was a no-brainer. And we've been real blessed to have a great experience with them. Those guys came to camp every year, and it was just a good deal. And you know, it's for me, what makes it easy is that, you know, what we try and do in the recruiting process is find like cultures, and you know, their culture and how they grew up and the way that they do things is very similar to the way we do. Actually recruited Blake, you know, out of Albia, Iowa. I can remember the first time I met Blake, then walked in the high school, and I get there, and I'm walking down the hall, and I just look, and I said, Odie. And he's like, Coach. And I had coached Chad Odorfer at St. Ambrose University in Davenport, Iowa, and we talked for about 10, 15 minutes. I hadn't seen him in, gosh, years. You know, but it's just weird how the connections work.
What was that like when you first met Coach Wright and they showed that interest to come to Northwest?
It was awesome. It was awesome. Honestly, to be right away, I really didn't know much about Northwest Missouri State. But once I started looking into them and what they're about and the culture and everything, and Coach Wright came up, it was awesome. It was
before basketball practice when I met you at the high school. And you know what really kind of sealed it for him? Now think about this. You're living in the Midwest. Kid tells me he wants to be a marine biology major.
Wow.
How many marine biology majors are there in the Midwest? But guess what? Northwest Missouri State has one.
Yep.
There you go.
Is that right?
Yep.
Is that still the game plan?
No, that plan was lost a long time ago.
Now, you have to forgive me. Where is Albia, Iowa, exactly?
It's about southeast of Des Moines, about an hour. So, there, Osceola, on your way up to Des Moines, it's just an hour east, right there on 34.
I got you. So a few hours, but not too far.
Yeah, it's not too bad at all.
All right. We're talking Northwest Missouri State football. We have safeties Jacob Gassman and Blake Bayer, along with head coach Rich Wright. Guys, when you look at wide receivers across from you, who for Northwest Missouri State would you say is the toughest one to guard if you step up? Or I'll throw it in there, too. Sometimes you guys have to get roped into to guarding a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Marcus Andrews? Is he the toughest to guard on this football team?
So as far as receivers go, I definitely say in the slot, Alec Tatum. He's a shifty little guy. He's hard to keep up with. He's just great off the line. He's really great against playing against your leverage. And I'd say as far as tight ends, probably Marcus. Marcus does a great job of creating his own space with his size and his strength, and he's definitely one of the more faster tight ends I've ever played against.
For sure, I'm going to have to go with Tatum there in the slot. He's just a great athlete. He's a quick little guy, too. Like Jake said, you really have to be patient with that kid. And then as far as tight ends, you know, we have some really good tight ends here. I'll also have to go with Marcus. He's a great tight end. He's got great hands, and he's very fast. So, yeah.
What do you guys want? Make the big tackle the line of scrimmage, or make that pass break up down the field?
I think I can speak for Blake when I say this, but probably the big tackle.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure.
We like those option games, especially like Pitt coming down, running the alley.
Yep,
just blow them up,
having a chance to make some big tackles. So
even a week after pick six.
Yeah.
Yeah, they both like to hit people. Like, as evidenced Tuesday this week in practice, scout team offense runs a reverse, and we're in man coverage, so Blake comes around off the reverse. He smokes the receiver and Andy Hessler at the same time, and then, like, poses on the camera after he did it.
Oh, well, yeah, you guys have made some big hits this year, and I'll be honest, at the start of the year, number six and number five are so close, and Jake, I feel like you put on so much weight that you kind of look at him like, is that Andy or is that Gaspin? Like, I say that in a good way.
That's
like,
a dart throw.
You,
now.
You look like you could be built like a linebacker out there playing safety, flying around. Of course, you got the speed on Andy. So
your third and fourth gear are a little different than Andy's.
Yeah,
Is there a certain defensive back or football player, anybody you guys look up to or you want to style yourself after?
Personally, I really like watching Harrison Smith for the Vikings.
Yeah, big hitter.
Yeah, that and he went to Notre Dame, too, so I'm a big Notre Dame fan. But he kind of reminds me of myself. He's a big hitter and not extremely fast, but he plays with great technique, and he just knows what he's doing all the time, so he's really fun to watch.
I'd probably have to go with the Honey Badger. he's just a tremendous athlete, and watching him play, that just strives. I just strive to be like that someday and be able to play as fast as he does. But I'm a long way from that. So,
okay, I'm gonna throw one in.
Yep.
Just to rep the Florida guys. How about Ed Reed?
Reed. Oh, yep. Yeah. His ball hawk. Sean Taylor. We had Miami thrown out earlier. I thought we'd get Sean Taylor thrown in too. All right, guys. Before we let you go, too, and we'll have you coach right. This is kind of a chance to, like, give recognition to John, but also make fun of him for being pretty old. This is his 30th season doing Northwest Missouri State football, 35. Wow. This weekend's his 445th consecutive football game on the broadcast. A lot of games. So if you dial back 35 years ago, where was Rich Wright?
35 years ago, got to do a little math. I was 15 years old. I was a freshman at Hamilton High School in upstate New York. So there you go.
Who would have thought you'd be in Maryville just a few years later?
No doubt.
Well, guys, we appreciate you coming in, and good luck this weekend against Fort Hays State.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We have a few safeties joining us, a couple safeties, excuse me, with Blake Bayer, Jacob Gaspin, and head coach Rich Wright. We'll take a timeout, and John Coffey will come up to chat with Coach Wright for just a little bit as we get ready to wrap things up here from the Bearcat Coaches Show in Carson's in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Carpet Plus Bargain Barn on North Highway 71 in Maryville, providing carpet for Mohawk and Shaw, as well as hardwood flooring, tile, laminate, and vinyl. Carpet Plus provides estimates and arranges installation. More at carpetplus.com.
Today's game is being underwritten by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Baumley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Baumley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs since 1983. More at BaumleyAuto.com or on the lot at the 5 Mile Corner south of Maryville. Support for today's game comes from Compass Dental Group. Doctors Bruce Twaddle and Brian Viertaler are proud supporters of Bearcat Athletics and the quality culture that is Northwest Missouri State University. More information on the Compass Dental Group is online at CompassDentalGroup.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from SureGrow Plant Food Company in Forest City. Locally owned and operated, SureGrow's provided the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies since 1951. More information on SureGrow products and services at 660-446-3376.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And with us is the head coach of the Bearcats, and Rich Wright. And Rich, before we talk about matchup with Fort Hays State, let's go back a little bit earlier this week, a little bit of national publicity for you and the team with, again, some recognition about the Military Appreciation Day and what you did with the helmets and on the national show Fox and Friends.
You know, it was great, you know, to, you know, I've got to extend all the credit to Tucker Peavy and the work that he did. You know, literally all he did was come up and ask me what my thoughts were. I said, run with it. Anytime we get a chance to, you know, add a family element to what we're doing, I think it's important. And, you know, so with all the family members on there and being able to feature those people on, you know, their photos and on the jerseys was great. Funny enough, we were supposed to, the morning of the interview, I was being told we're going to have five to six minute interviews. So, you know, being fairly organized, I was going to try and be prepared for it. Well, Donald Trump's son ran long on the, you know, deal before. So we had about 45 seconds, but it was a good 45 seconds. So it was good.
Now, I do understand that as soon as that aired, you got a few texts and things of people thinking that you should work on your Skype face just a little bit.
You know, I can't tell you how many people told me that. They're like, gosh, smile. I was like, it's, you know, I've been up since, you know, 5:30 in the morning, and, you know, you're sitting there on a Skype deal, and so it's a blank. It's a blank computer screen, so I'm just like, okay, well, I'm waiting for somebody to ask me something. I can't see them. They can't see me. So, yeah, I've had quite a few texts about that.
But, again, just great publicity for the program and for Tucker and really what Military Appreciation Weekend has become for Northwest.
It is. You know, one of the things that was cool about it is just, you know, we asked the guys that reached out to find people that were service members a little bit about what they did. And, you know, the thing that I found ironic in talking to our kids is how many kids – They knew grandparents or parents or relatives served, but they really didn't know what they did. And so to ask those questions and gain an understanding and appreciation for, you know, what those people gave for our country, I think is really cool.
Let's talk just briefly about the Northeastern State win. Going in, you talked about one of the things you were really looking for out of that game, just be a quick start for all phases of the game. I think you were able to accomplish that Saturday.
Yeah, we played really well early and, you know, got the game out of reach fast. You know, I felt like we played well in all three phases. So, you know, it was a good opportunity for a lot of our backups to play in the second half. And one of the things I was impressed with there is that there really wasn't a, you know, a downtick. You know, those kids came in and executed our offense and our defense. So, you know, it was nice to be able to walk away from that feeling good.
Now, as you look toward this week, a big matchup on the road in Hays, Kansas with Fort Hays State, a game that really has a lot of implications, not only with the conference race, but the regional standings coming up.
Yeah, no doubt. And they're a really good football team. You know, I have a lot of respect for what Chris Brown has done out there. You know, I've been here 16 years, so I've watched him build it from the ground up. You know, I'm old enough that I was a graduate assistant when Chris was a player at Pittsburgh State. And, you know, they just kind of embody who he was. You know, they're physical, they're tough. You know, they're going to give you everything that they've got, and they have talent. You know, that's the thing that, you know, the last 3 years, you know, the difference in the talent level out there has changed with their success.
They had a couple of hiccups early in the season, but it looks like they're playing some pretty good football right now.
They are. You know, it's, you know, and both of those games could have gone a different way. You know, you look at the Central Missouri State game, and that was back and forth. And then the Missouri Western game, when you sit down and watch the tape, it was a couple special teams miscues that really hurt them in the game. So, you know, it's, you know, as they've gone through the season, they've got better, and as a coach, that's kind of what you want to see.
What are some of the things that you want to see your team accomplish on Saturday with 4 days?
We need to start fast. I think that's going to be really important. I know that they've really tried to drum up the crowd. It's been 2 years since we played out there, and we're going to play in a hostile environment. I've talked to our kids about that, and there's two ways to look at that. You can look at it like, wow, it's a hostile crowd, or you can look at it like, wow, this is a hostile crowd. I mean, it's just, for us, the blessing is we've had so many kids that have played in those types of games, whether you're going to Arrowhead Stadium or you're going to Pitt or you're going to Grand Valley, that, it's not gonna shock and awe us. And so it almost is energizing to have everybody against you, and that's kind of the way that we've, created the mindset for our kids. I think, anytime you get into a game where teams are evenly matched, special teams are magnified. I'll take it to a year ago. We had the roughing the punter call. We had the missed extra point. We lose by a point. Anytime you leave points on the field, you just can't do it. And then the third is turnovers. We started the football game with a turnover. It just, those things can't happen. You've got to take care of the football. The last piece is create explosive plays for yourself and some touchdowns and eliminate them on the other side of the ball. And to me, when you look at the stat line at the end of the day, those are going to be the keys to the game.
And I really hope people don't take this for granted, but at this time of year, it's so much fun to be playing football and having playing games that matters as much as this game will matter Saturday and the next week with Central Missouri back at Bearcat Stadium. It's really what you play for, to be able to be playing at this time of the year and playing important football games.
Yeah, one of the things that, I was at the grocery store the other day and somebody made a remark about this, is just that, it's, I think sometimes what people take for granted is over this time frame, we haven't won every conference championship. We haven't done, we haven't gone as far as everybody wants to go from one year to the other. And I'm taking this all the way back to 1996. But, in the last 16 years, we've been in the conversation every single year. And so if you're not winning the conference championship, but you're playing for it, those are cool things. And so hopefully we can get a win against Fort Hays and then come back home for the final week and see what we can do.
Yeah, and this Fort Hays is really becoming a game on the schedule that you have to really watch for you the last several years.
Yeah, you do. Like I said, they're a very good football team on both sides of the ball. They've got great talent. Their quarterback is playing really well. They've got a phenomenal set of receivers. The quarterback is at 65% completion percentage, which leads the MIAA. He's very efficient at what he does. He gets rid of the ball and distributes it. I don't know how many of the fans remember, but a year ago, we beat the heck out of that kid, and he kept getting up. So he's got a toughness about him as well, and we're going to have our hands full.
All right, Rich, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks.
That's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team, Rich Wright. We'll be back and wrap things up right after this timeout from Carson's in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from United Services, offering residents throughout Northwest Missouri amenities including high-speed internet, television, and phone services. For more information on products and availability, UnitedFiber.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at PizzaRanch.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Gardner Family Dentistry on South Main in Maryville. Dr. Jeffrey Gardner and his staff specialize in treating the whole family and offer a variety of services including general dentistry, crowns, implants, and more. Gardner Family Dentistry welcomes new patients. More information at MarryvilleSmiles.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers pre-owned late model autos and will also purchase vehicles from individuals. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 660-582-8800.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitsenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitsenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or pitsautobody.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-4599.
And welcome back to Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville as we wrap things up on KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe on our coach's show for this week. Matt Trenton rejoining us. And Matt, let's just talk a little bit about what we got coming up the next couple days broadcast-wise. It's going to be a busy time on the air with both basketball and football coming up.
Yes, a lot of John Coffey on your airwaves, which is a good thing, right?
Lied.
I'll be hanging out just eating pizza while you're doing it. Fort Hays State, Northwest Missouri State, taking them on in football coming up on Saturday. That's a 2 o'clock kickoff, pregame starting at 1 o'clock. Of course, I'm doing this backwards, John. That's what's coming up on Saturday for football. Basketball-wise, we have men's and women's basketball tomorrow on the Bearcat Radio Network. The men against Minnesota Crookston at 3:30, pregame at 3 o'clock. And the women taking on Wayne State at 5 o'clock. That'll be a 4:30 pregame. You can hear that online. Go to kxcv.org, click Listen Live, and then go to our second web stream there, and that'll be aired there on the internet. On Saturday for basketball, we have the men taking on Minnesota State Moorhead at 4 o'clock. That'll also be online at kxcv.org on our second stream. And then the women taking on Minnesota Crookston at 3:30 on Saturday. That's also available at kxcv.org. So we've got about five broadcasts coming up with kind of crews, all kinds of different crews going out across the Midwest to cover all these basketball games. So everything's available on kxcv.org. Click Listen Live if you want to listen to any of those there. But we'll have men's basketball tomorrow on 90.5 and 88.9, and then football on Saturday.
Well, it's always a busy time, but a fun time for everybody. You get to see a lot of good football as the football season really coming down to the big games here at the end of the year. And then, of course, basketball opening up with some important games as well. So it's just a fun time.
Yeah, it really is. Postseason right around the corner and getting your taste of basketball for the first time, so it's exciting.
That'll do it for our show tonight from Carson Sports Grill. For Matt Trenton, also behind the scenes, Jacob Blair and Logan Weber helping out. I'm John Coffey, and so long from Carson's.